The Ways and Means Committee meeting of October 10th.
To where?
Can you call attendance, please?
Archer?
Here.
Jarantine?
Here.
Donaldson?
Here.
Mayo?
Here.
Maloney?
Here.
Petit?
Here.
And Ronk?
Here.
Okay, thank you all for coming. We have a number of departments here today to walk us through their budget numbers, so we're thankful for your attendance, and we're going to start with you, Nina. So welcome, thank you.
Thank you for having me. So I thought what I would do is basically go over what our initiatives are for 2020, and then if you have questions in regard to the dollars and cents and why we're asking for those, or if you have questions about our revenue, I'd be more than happy to address them. So what we're looking at in 2020 is, first we'll start with our recording department. As all of you know, our recording department consists of deeds, mortgages, anything you need for a title search, as well as all your civil and criminal Pima County court records. And then of course we do various things like business certificates, corps, notaries, etc. So the initiatives we have in the county court recording department is we will begin e-filing at the very end of 2019, so it really will be implemented in 2020. And what e-filing is the ability for attorneys to file their papers, and this will be mandatory, and this is the New York State Office of Court Administration, to initiate a case and to file all your civil actions in the Supreme Court by electronic means. So we will no longer have hard copy paper. This is very good for us in Ulster County because, first of all, it reduces the space. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the Hall of Records at some point. And the Hall of Records is 96% full. And part of that issue is all of these papers that we're generating. So this will not only reduce space for the county, but it'll be a more streamlined and efficient way of processing court papers. It is a mandatory program, but any pro se litigant, if you're representing yourself, will still have the availability to do hard copy, as well as any attorney who certifies they do not have the computer or the technology to comply. In addition, we are initiating e-recording. So e-recording has just started, and that's the recording of deeds and mortgages or any land record through electronic means. This has been a very good step in helping us to reduce the cost, because every document that's recorded in the county clerk's office gets returned to the submitter. So we mail out back every deed, mortgage, power of attorney, lease, whatever the case may be. So you can imagine the postage that's generated from our office every year. In addition, 50% of all the mail that we would receive gets returned because incorrect fees, not acknowledged properly, etc. So all of that is reduced because now we just electronically send it right back. Same thing, it reduces our manpower because we no longer have to scan those documents and process them. We never touch them. They all come in electronically. So we're very excited about that. Another initiative we're starting in 2020 is accepting credit cards in the county clerk's office. As we know, more and more people are no longer carrying cash with them. So this will be a convenience. They will pay the 3% convenience fee to use the credit card, so it'll be no cost to the county. In addition, we do a lot of community outreach in the county clerk's office, and one of the things that has been successful and we will continue in 2020 is the passport nights that we do. Presently, we have done Esopus, Ulster, Sorgardies. We're going to the town of Lloyd next week, and we have done up to 70, 75 people at a passport night. We go after work, 5:30 to 7:30. People can bring their families. They can come after they leave their jobs, and it really has been a convenience. We bring our camera, we take the picture, we process the application, and then the next day we come back and cashier everything and mail it to the passport agency. So we will continue that. All of these initiatives in the recording department is no additional cost to the county. None of this is costing the county anymore. We're doing it with existing staff. A little bit about records management. So we do grant funding every year through the New York State Archives. Since the inception of our program, we received over $900,000 in grant funding. And as you know, we did the grand opening of our permanent exhibit that we installed on the second floor of the county office building. We will be going for a new grant in 2020. We have a few ideas right now. It will definitely be an exhibit type of grant, maybe geared towards school children, but we're not certain yet. We're working out the specifics on that, but we will be going for grant funding for that. Also, we're collaborating with the Netherlands. and the Dutch Records. This is really exciting, and this is great for the whole county. And that is where we'll be partnering with the actual government of the Netherlands, as well as a lot of the repositories that have Dutch records. And what they're trying to do is, because New York is so rich in Dutch history, is really create a partnership between New York State and the Netherlands. And we will be going for a grant, because our Dutch records, our original Dutch records, have been microfilmed. They've been conserved, and now they're preserved in our archival hall, and we would like to get those digitized. And the whole index is on the web, so you can actually search the Dutch records, but this will allow us then to put these actual images on the website. So we're excited about that. In addition, the record center. So the record center is 95.6% full. So anybody who's been to our record center, and I would encourage everybody to come over and take a tour, 38,000 cubic feet of records is stored in that record center. So I'm going to say we're about 35,000 and change in there right now. Our goal, and we have really worked hard to get to this point, is to begin in 2020 to sit down with 25 departments that stormed us. Many of those departments have superseded their retention periods on a lot of their records, and we want to go back to those retention periods. And what that will allow us to do, let's give you an example, mental health. 1,500 records have been superseded. If they go back to that 28-year retention period, we want to scan those. We have the capability of scanning and then destroy the hard copy, and then they can have access via their computers. We have OnBase that we've worked with IS to install on all of our scanners. And what this does, too, is we've worked with compliance, and we've created actual specifications for scanning that allows us, and we worked with the county attorney's office and compliance, and it's been adopted by the legislature 2 years ago, that will allow us to destroy these records legally. And we're really pushing this for 2020 because the record center is 95% full, and nobody's buying a new building, let's be realistic. Mm-hmm. So, and we can't continue to create all this mounds of paper here in the county office building or social services, wherever the case may be. So this is a really very important initiative for 2020 that we'll be moving forward with.
Do you think you'll be able to clear out the record center?
Well, what we're hoping to
do, or a percentage of it anyway?
Yeah, great question. So what we're hoping to do is near net zero gain in the record center. So right now, what we're taking in on an average every year is about 700 cubic feet of records. We want to at least destroy 700 cubic feet of records each year, and then hopefully more than that, and open up even more space. But our goal is at least to have a net zero gain in the facility each year. One of the things that I think is a hidden gem, and the public knows, but I don't know if county government realizes, the Person House is the county museum for the county, and it has been hugely successful, and this year has been our banner year. So I just brought these brochures, and you can pass them around if everybody wants to take one, but it talks about every guest host that has come to the house, and we have approximately 20 guest hosts that have taken a Saturday and really showcased their organizations. In addition, we have a permanent exhibit that is installed there at the Person House, and every single year we change the exhibits that are going on. This year we have the artifacts that Joe Diamond did with the dig. But the point being is that the Person House is really a tourist attraction. 4,000 people have walked through that house this year. That's a tremendous amount of people. Every state in the United States has been represented, and 23 different countries, individuals have walked through that Person House. So we will continue in 2020 to increase our visibility. We will continue to partner and, of course, create new exhibits within that house. So that's just something to give you an idea of what we do at the Person House. Of course, Black History Month is February. We partner throughout the county, throughout the year, with exhibits and different seminars and lectures and so forth. So this year, a new project that we're taking on in 2020 is Black History Month, and we're really looking forward to doing that. Okay, so I left the best to last, motor vehicle. Motor vehicle has been a struggle for us this year. It has been a total struggle. And anybody who's walked through this county office building on any given day and has walked through that lobby can see what that struggle has been. And the reason that struggle is, and I'm sure a lot of the other county departments will speak to this tonight, is the state has pushed down a tremendous amount of work onto us as county DMVs. and it's really been virtually impossible to keep up with the work. And just to give you an example, an average transaction takes 6 to 8 minutes, okay? An average renewal of a driver's license takes us about 5.5 to 6 minutes. An enhanced or real ID, which everybody needs to get by October 2020 if they wish to fly domestically or enter a federal building, takes us 11 to 12 minutes. So we think, and if you look at the percentage, and I have charts, I have, you know, if you look at the percentage of regular driver's licenses that have been issued in comparison, 2017, just to give you an example, there's an enhanced or a real ID. That's the amount that were issued. That's a regular driver's license. In 2019, well, those are now even. And when you're starting to add five to eight minutes onto each transaction, it's almost, if you just multiply by the number of transactions, it's like a half a person. Now, increase that by the fact that if anybody comes in who has a green card, a permanent residency card, who is an American citizen but has been naturalized, who has a visa but is here legally, we have to make copies of all their documentation, make a file on them, fax that up to Albany, and call them within 24, 48 hours, 72 hours, when DMV gets back to us with a saved verification. They then have to come back in the office, take another number, then we can process the real or enhanced driver's license. That's just one example of what is happening down in the DMV. Register to vote is wonderful. You used to fill out a little slip and hand it in. Now, to register to vote on those front-facing devices is taking approximately 4 to 6 minutes for that person to register to vote. It's important information is being captured, and but it's difficult and it's time-consuming, and again, it's adding more time. So we're struggling with that in DMV. And with the fact that we'll be facing issuing, if everything goes through in 2020, to non-documented individuals, driver's license permits and non-driving IDs. So you can imagine where that's going to take us also. We started a lot of initiatives, early mornings, right? And one night a week, all with existing staff. And I will address the fact that for the past 8 years, through 2017, we've had 50 full-time employees. That has not changed. In 2018, we added a new motor vehicle cashier. This year, we took 2 part-time employees during the year, made another motor vehicle cashier, and I'm asking for one in the budget that is Spanish-speaking. I think it's really important, and we're running into this problem.
So you're going up 2, but you're asking for one with
Spanish-speaking. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we're running into this problem before we're even doing the driver's license for non-documented individuals. And you know what? It's so difficult because what a lot of people are doing is they bring their phone and they speak into the phone and have the translator. And then they hand the phone to our cashier. Then our cashier speaks in the phone and translates it back to them. And time-consuming, difficult, and then, or they bring somebody with them. And it's really very, very hard. And I've been down, I go down a lot and look at paperwork, and I've had the personal experience of trying to communicate, and it's very hard. And that's why I hope we'll be able to find someone who is a motor vehicle cashier, because we have an eligible list, and is Spanish-speaking, because I think that'll be very important in 2020. Mm-hmm. And that's the only new position that we have asked for in the budget. For next
two,
year.
Two, right?
No, one.
Okay, because we're saying two here, so I'm not quite sure.
Why? Because the one
they're
position...
They're both being shown as MV cashiers, right?
The two, yeah. She took 2 part-timers and then
combined them into one
full-time.
Okay. During the year.
That happened
Mid-year.
During the year, but we'll show when you're looking from the approved budget last year to the executive budget, it'll show two.
Yes.
And our contract with CSEA ended. Do we have a new contract?
There are negotiations.
Okay, because we have increases in here.
19. Yeah.
It ended in 19. So for 2020, there are increases.
Yeah, so those increases are on when for steps. So even though we're not having a new contract, there's employees that get steps every year. So all those steps are incorporated into that, and that's where the increases. So there's no additional personnel.
Okay, so what we're seeing here in an increase in salaries are step related and not any increases.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's It's also
they're anticipated what would be generic usually in the contract?
No.
No.
That shows that you're not negotiating in good faith. We don't ever put.
Okay.
Yeah, you can.
But
you go back and
next year's a leap year, so there's like one extra day in there, so that's what you'll see in some salary increases too.
Yeah, but those are usually dollars and cents, right? It's not several hundred for the extra day.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe this is a question for later on, but you know, just based on your comment on the increases to CSEA, they're all over the budget, so those are all going to be steps.
Alright. There is a raise in steps.
It's not dollars and cents for the extra day either. It's
500 or so.
Well, it depends on the salary.
Yeah, but we're seeing 2, 3, 7%.
Yeah.
Those are not all over the budget. So those would have to be steps, then they couldn't possibly be a day.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're trying to verify.
That's what you meant by dollars and cents. It was it wasn't like $5, but it's also not
3%. 3%, right.
Could I just ask about the revenues?
Please.
Do you have any grant funding coming in for your records management, since the revenues on that are a lot lower than the expenses?
Right, we don't, because we received our grant last year for the 2018-19, and 2019-20 will be going for, 2021 will be going for next year. So we didn't actually do a grant this year because we didn't do a grant this year.
Okay. And are you finding the e-filing is going to eventually help you reduce or repurpose staff elsewhere as a result?
Absolutely.
So you're going through a transition right now, so to do that now would be detrimental, but but once you have the new system running and you're reducing the paper flow, you have an opportunity to reconsider where staff goes.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Any other questions? We'll talk. Any other questions? Thank you so much for coming.
You.
We
thank
appreciate it.
Much.
Good luck with all of those new procedures.
Thank you.
And the reduction of the record center.
Yeah, that's very important.
Yes.
And please come visit the person house. Thank you.
Thank you. And just for everybody here, we got your org chart, so thank you for submitting that.
Oh, the organization.
Yeah.
Chart.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, next up is Sherry Cross.
Budget. Essentially, there's just a couple of changes. One of which is for personnel to add a chief diversity officer. And basically, the workplace is and will be undergoing profound changes. It's about enhancing the employee experience. It's about understanding, accepting, and valuing differences. There's race, but that is not all. It's only the tip of the iceberg. There's ages, gender, ethnicities, religious disabilities, sexual orientations. There are different educations, personalities, experience, and knowledge bases. So basically, his position would be an organizer of all the differences of the workforce and then incorporating programs and training to bring it all together. In addition, recruitment efforts in Ulster County would be carried out by this position. All this adds up to potential for a more talented pool of workers to tackle the new unforeseen issues that we will be facing as we move forward. Cultural change and decision making will be enhanced. So that's the background for that position.
Do you happen to have a job description for that? And I thought that was CSEA position. That's a CSEA?
No, it's competitive. It's not CSEA. I believe it would probably be in the UCSA
Staff Association.
Staff Association.
Okay.
That
but
hasn't
it's
been
tested.
Determined yet. It's tested.
Okay. Do you have?
I have a draft. I do not have adopted. I have
Can you share that with us? That would be great.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
We just had a discussion about that position.
Yes.
Are we still on the diversity officer for a minute, or after that, I have a couple questions.
Okay, why don't you want to finish what you've got, and then we can go to that? Is that all right?
Oh, I wasn't sure if anybody had any questions about that.
Yeah, that's the diversity officer.
Right.
And then the only increase, essentially, from that in personnel is the attorneys, labor relations, Roma Wallens. That has gone up.
That's where the professional service?
Yes.
Line, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, labor relations. And that has been because we have had a few more Section 75 with hearings, with attorney's fees, with court transcriptions is in another, which you'll see has increased slightly, and hearing officers, which has increased. So that is more work being done in that. We have a retainer, and then we pay for some certain other.
You anticipate those kinds of things continuing to happen from here on out?
Well, not here on out, but we have some that have started in 2019, and they'll carry over to 2020.
So that's the $50,000 then up from, okay.
Well, it's $130,000 up from $92,000.
It started in 17, kind of, that line kind of.
Been growing. You're absolutely correct. There's been.
So the retainer's the same. The additional funds is for any litigation.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
The retainer has, and there's a 3-year contract, so we had gone up slightly. I believe we're going into the second year of the 3-year contract, and the other is for litigations. So that's basically personnel, and then the other would be health insurance that we have under our department, and that has had a premium increase plus an additional plan, and the budget for the claims has increased. I believe that's around $2 million from last year. We continue to have stop loss. That is an estimated expense. I know we talked about it last year here, mm-hmm. stop loss, but we're not doing the captive. We're continuing with the Berkeley stop loss. And we do have one claim this year that is over the essentially $400,000. So we have received return money.
Go ahead.
Lynn,
go ahead.
We've had an audit done there because we had had some lost revenue that we ended up being able to capture later on. So I think we went out, you guys had an audit done to kind of identify any of the money we're spending in this budget, either with the diversity officer or anywhere else being instituted to help any kind of new programmatic changes to an approach and making sure we're not losing revenue. I think there was a couple $100,000 found last year that the money owed, it was just somewhere along the way something had happened where
we didn't realize that. The thing with how the budget is that the expense, the revenue, like you're going to see the revenue that we estimate because we get revenue from the prescription rebate. We get revenue from the past, as you're talking about. We had gotten a lot of revenue from past stop loss.
No, but what I'm talking about was lost revenue we should have gotten that we didn't. And what happened
was... That's what I'm calling the past stop loss. That's that lost revenue that we found.
And what I'm asking is, have we made any changes? Is this somebody... Because in case no one knows, what I believe happened was there was information requested from the insurance company that they supposedly did not get. Now, with this new approach to self-insurance, it's different than just paying a company to do all this. So what ended up happening was we caught that there was money we should have gotten. I believe it was Alicia DeMarco that caught that. She alerted you. You went. They got the information. They eventually, I think it was between $130,000 and $200,000 that we were missing. And I think what we realized was we need somebody maybe double-checking that inside the county to ensure that we're getting all that we should be getting. I'm asking you in personnel, since that's your responsibility. Have we changed any job descriptions? Does somebody have a task of double checking whether the revenue we're supposed to be getting, or if it's something simple they needed more? I think it was that they were requesting some little bit of information that we didn't catch. We didn't send it along, so they didn't cut us the check. What have we done? Mark, you can explain it better, but I think Sherry would probably be
the
one
to explain.
Yeah, she can
explain. I'm just shaking my head because that's not exactly what happened. It was a transition from, I believe Sherry, just correct me if I'm wrong, but transition from the one carrier to the other.
Stop loss.
But have we implemented anything to make sure that hasn't happened? That's what I'm looking for.
So the stop loss, bring part one around. We were still looking into it. We hired John Graham. John Graham was the best $20,000 we ever spent. He audited Empire, who we have all our health insurance with, as our administrator, and he looked at all the stop loss. He did do a wonderful job, and we have had and are in the process of getting back the dollars from
that were left on the table
through the stop loss, through Sun
and
Life.
It's several hundred thousand, is that correct?
And with the audit, Empire has, but they have a different way of doing it. They had found some errors in the way they're doing things, some errors in the way they did. So that's all in the process as well. And the plan is to keep John Graham yearly and do a yearly audit. So he will be doing an audit for 2018 as we speak.
And he'll be looking for the types of things that happened last time.
Yes. What hasn't happened or occurred since 2016 was a horrendous year for high-cost claims. Since 2016, 2017, I believe, there were leftovers, so there were two. 2018, I believe, there was one, and now in 2019, we have one. A little easier to keep track of one than six or eight.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Okay. And that's the solution if we have somebody that's going to be...
Yes.
Contracted to look at those exact,
and that's reflected in the professional services line here.
Yes,
that's in the health insurance line.
Yeah,
okay.
But he's an outside look, right?
Correct. Yes, he doesn't belong to us at all.
Yeah,
right.
So that could have been in the
and we yes.
How about conference expenses? That's doubled.
There is a big conference for the personnel. It's like NYPASCO or the New York State Civil Service Personnel Officers and Civil Service Workers, something like that. And they have one this year. And in the interest, honestly, of looking at our department, it would be a good opportunity for all the five upper level people to attend that conference.
In 18, it wasn't used at all.
Right. In 19, some went.
And this is not, there's none of these type trainings are available online. A lot of these conferences have been cut down because you're able to.
It's the only one we would go to.
And this is in New York State, this one?
Yes, it is.
What page are you on?
I'm on the, these are my own notes here.
No, the page.
Page. That's a good question. It's 51 on the electronic. 48.
Yeah. Sherry, we've put together cobbled together order charts. We're trying to put them together for all departments. So we'd ask that you take a look at it and let us know if it reflects the department and your unit.
No, this is personnel.
These are just org charts that we had tried to put together because we hadn't received them with our request.
Oh, okay.
So we're asking for verification.
Yes.
Please mark it up
thank you for
the org charts. Like this doesn't exist anymore.
Okay. Okay. Verify. We had to do it ourselves.
And this has to be broken out.
Well, so if you could just correct it and get it back to us, that would be very helpful. Thank you. Okay. Anything else? Any other questions?
Yes. Just going back to the chief diversity officer.
Yes.
Are you aware of any other county that has a chief diversity officer?
Tompkins County.
Okay.
They don't call it chief diversity. New York State has a chief diversity officer. And, of course, you'll find them in a lot of the colleges.
What's Tompkins for? What's Tompkins title?
If you don't know offhand, it's okay. If you could send it to...
I will. I do not ask me.
Will that report to you?
Huh?
Will that job report to you?
That was my next question.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
I guess it's two questions away, but so it would be in personnel, so you would be the one making the hiring decisions on that position. I imagine you could hire provisionally pending a test, or I know that this is probably a stupid question. Do we anticipate a test for that position, you know, in the near future? Based on the fact that obviously there aren't a lot of these positions around the...
Except they did test New York State. So New York State's chief diversity officer is competitive and they have tested. So I don't think a test would be all that far off.
Okay.
Mark, you said no, though.
But, like, when you say far off, you mean how far? Because when I tried to ask for a buyer exam when I was in purchasing, I mean, it's like 12 months.
Oh, yes. That's
later. It's not a couple months. To get, when you start these, to get state civil service to come down and give an exam, it can take 12 to 18 months from the time you request it, which is why we have...
Right, that's my point, is that this is a new position that's going to be provisional for a very long time.
For 12 to 18
yeah.
months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which any position is.
Well, I'm aware, but a lot of these positions have active lists. That's, you know...
I'll say that this is an initiative of the county executive because he has spoken to many community members and groups that believe this is something that is necessary here in the county to help further go out to groups that aren't normally reflected in the civil service arena. They don't know about exams. They don't know they're coming up. And it's to help with that.
That was the last question I had right now on this. Is there any data? I mean, this is, $100,000, you know, total when you include benefits and everything. Is there data to suggest that there are large segments of the population that are functionally excluded from civil service tests? I mean, I would like to see, you know, if the executive could come up with some data on that, that's something that would be interesting to me, because it seems like a lot of money to spend if we don't have data that shows that this is going to make a difference.
Dave?
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people, a lot of people have talked to me in reference to this position, requesting it actually within the city of Kingston, so they were looking at something of this nature, because if you take a look at our workforce, they do not represent our,
demographics
of our population. So
that's more data I'd like to see.
Okay. Yeah. Dave, Joe, sorry.
That's all right. I've been called worse than that. I happen to agree. I don't hear a lot of specifics, and I just wonder if we could. I wonder why. Titling a position that has a wonderful sounding name to it, that is kind of the name of the position, kind of solves the problem, except it doesn't. And actually getting out there and reaching out, getting into these different parts of the county and communities, and getting a more representative demographically workforce with the county, I don't know why we have to create a position, pay all that money, kind of without knowing exactly what that person's going to do and the kinds of things they are going to do. I feel like we have people in personnel that could be doing that right now and starting to do that right now. But and the second part of that has always been a concern of mine over the last couple of years is how many appointed positions we're looking to create that answer directly to one man or woman when we have that their jobs are completely based upon making one person happy where with not a lot of protection, where union and tested positions, which we seem to be moving away from in this county, have protections and seem to have a built-in barrier to some certain types of political situations that I think we should start to look to get away from. So I have a lot of issues with this position, even though I'm, like Dave, I'm sure I'm looking for the solution to this problem, but I'm not sure this position right now is there yet.
So the good news is we have a job description that we're going to share with everyone.
That's
and I think that let's talk more about it once everybody has a chance to review the job description.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to correct, because I mean, I don't know if you didn't hear Sherry when she spoke earlier, but this is a competitive tested position. That we don't have a test, so this is like any other CSEA position or any other competitive, because it's not going to be CSEA. It's going to be
Staff Association.
It's not
appointed. It's not appointed. It's a competitive position.
Oh, okay. It'll thought this was an appointed position.
It'll be provisional until we can get an exam, and then it'll be protected by the civil service exam.
My point was that since there, I'm imagining that there's not an active list, because we haven't had one down
so
here.
So it would be.
So it's going to be appointed provisionally for 12 to 18 months.
They're provisional, so it'll be hired, but they'll be provisional.
Like any other union position.
12 to 18 months.
We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, I feel. I'd rather, and I don't see why
you
we
have
can't
to create
do.
The position to get the exam.
I'm looking forward to seeing
the job description to get the exam.
That's been our practice.
I understand.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that point? I didn't hear that.
That you have to fill it. It can be vacant to get the exam, or you can fill it and do the exam.
Okay. Dave?
Has there been any looks at other ways of trying to comply with what we're sort of trying to do here? In other words, like you're pointing out, you're creating the name, and does that solve the problem?
Sometimes that's a detriment to the cause, because you see the positions created and the community says,
oh, okay, so
they got it under control.
I certainly understand. Yeah. I've seen that happen. But
well, I think that's why I think these are all good points.
Right.
Let's take a look at the job description and look at it within the context of the whole budget. Yeah.
I just feel like I need to, after my questions, I feel like I needed to get on the record that I think the goal is laudable. It's just a question about whether or not this is the right way to achieve the laudable goal.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And the job description will help you to figure that
out.
Perhaps. We'll see. If not, let's ask questions.
It's one of my favorite words in the English language, perhaps, because you never know.
Okay.
I have one thing.
Yes.
I don't think that there are employees, and Sherry, again, can correct me if I'm wrong, down in personnel that are just waiting to add the tasks of the chief diversity officer. They have pretty steady workloads and have work that they're doing.
No, I don't think that's what any of our guests are. When you say that, is that the way to go? In other words, some places have department heads may do direct reach out, going to a church or saying, hey, positions are open, or something of that nature. I don't know. I'm just saying, is that how do other places do it? How do you do it in Allenville? Try to get diversity within your your employees. How do you do that in the hospital? I mean, I'd like to know how other organizations do that and how they feel that they're doing it effectively. And the only way you're going to know if they're doing it effectively is if they're actually making the hirees, right? I mean, the tough thing is people are not. In other words, in certain parts of the population, the problem isn't that they can't meet the test. They just don't take the test.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go out after it because nobody's actually, they don't quite understand the process.
Okay. Ken?
Just the last question I had that comes from what you were just saying, it popped into my head. How was the salary determined? Like, I would imagine that this would be one of the things salary depends on municipality or whatnot. I just curious where that number came from. It seems, I don't want to say it seems high, but what's that?
Came out of the audit, right? Isn't the audit ready now?
Yeah.
It does seem high, to be honest.
I'm just curious where it came from.
Accountants and lawyers we have working in the county, it's higher than some of them are making, and that's quite a bit of of schooling you have to do, which is usually a lot what you base some of these positions on, it does seem fairly high. But I, but the requirements, I'd love to see the requirements, and I think that'll answer that perhaps.
How did you determine the salary?
We looked at the other positions, like Nina's position.
I think Youth Bureau, Human Rights, some other positions.
Mm-hmm. And
compared salaries.
Those are department heads, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going on a limb.
And that's a good point. They're full-time department heads now, at least mm-hmm. in this budget. So could it be incorporated into, because what we're looking at is trying to get, you know, young people trying to get a better, you know, overall demographic mm-hmm. into the county. Because I've had this discussion, too, that it's all, you know, old white men. So, and they're related. So, I know we have a nepotism law, but it's just, you know, that seems to be the way that it has gone.
It's not a law.
Well, okay, it's a policy. It's a suggestion. It's not. But, you know, you do need to know somebody, and there's large families that also can be getting good county jobs.
And did you rewrite job descriptions for those standalone jobs now?
But we're going to have a full-time human rights and a full-time health care.
You're
going to
give
your
I understand that, but if we could get a copy of them, that would be helpful for comparative purposes, so that would be great.
All right, anything else you want to add, Sharon?
Nope, I don't have anything.
Okay, anybody else have any other questions? Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Me too. Appreciate it. And if you could just get back to us with the orchard, that would be helpful. Thank you so much. Okay, Ed, your turn. Thank you for coming.
So I thought I'd start out with some year-to-date statistics in terms of volumes for the department.
38.
Purchase orders so far, 3,250. Bids, 42. 42?
Mm-hmm.
Capital bids, 12. RFPs, 22. In terms of mail volume, we've done 250,339 pieces of mail. Inserting of payroll, vendor checks, school taxes, and town taxes, thus far 165,441 pieces. We have the big property tax bill insertion coming in December. So last year was about 78,000. UPS pieces 729 so far this year, and printing and copying we do downstairs 115,296 clicks. As far as some cost savings through solicitations over the last year, just kind of give you some examples. For inmate food services, we contracted with Trinity. The savings estimate for the year will be about $120,000 based on meal costs versus Aramark, the previous vendor. Jail medical RFP we awarded to Prime Care. We went back to them and asked for a best and final offer. They dropped the cost by $30,000. Body cameras, we had received a quote for the cameras that we could have used a cooperative bid on. We decided to put the bid out ourselves. For the same products, we saved $20,000. We just did a preschool transportation bid because a child needed to get from Margaretville to Delhi. We went to get a quote from the vendor we're using, Rowing V. They wanted $83,000 a year for that. We ended up speaking to Rowing V and to Delaware County and found out that they have a child that requires a service. We're doing a ride share, and we're going to save $38,000 on that.
Did you have something?
Yeah, Ed, on those savings with the jail, is that because you went out and solicited bids or because you have less number of people in jail?
We did not.
You did not, but your numbers were completely different than they were in the past, correct? Lower?
The cost per meal. We're talking about food service?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's two savings that you have in the jail.
We used the volume that we received from the jail as to the average number of inmates and meals per day, and took what we used to pay with Aramark compared to what we're going to pay with the new vendor. And That's where we came up with.
But the total number of meals that you provided in the past were much greater than they are today because we have less people in jail, correct?
That I'm not sure.
And I think that's part of your savings right there.
Well, it's per meal savings.
Yeah,
that's what I thought I heard.
He's basing it off of a per meal savings.
Not the actual.
Right.
The point is that if you...
It's going to be less.
$2 a meal times 100 people and $1.50 a meal times 400 people. It's still more money with more inmates.
Mm-hmm. So I think what
Rich is asking you is the total number significantly lower because of less inmates?
I'm going to have to go back and look at that number. Mm-hmm. Okay. So another example, the transit bus announcement system. We did a contract with Ride Systems, asked them again for best and final offer. They dropped the cost by $21,000. And then finally, design services for the Walk Hill Rail Trail. We contracted with Wine Trail Diaz, asked for best and final. They cut their cost by $54,000. So as far as the budget itself, we're pretty flat. Do you want to go down right down the line, or do you want me to speak to the minor changes that are...
A couple of that are, one is the part-time and the other is the rental. If you can speak to those two specifically for me, thank you.
Okay, so part-time pay, last year we put $10,000 in the budget because there are times when we need extra help in the mailroom, vacations down there with the two people we have, tax bills, any big projects. So we just wanted to put some extra money in case we needed it so we don't have to bring buyers from our department down to help out.
But you haven't used it this year?
We've used less than $2,000.
Right. So, but you're putting in 10 again for next year?
We do.
And are you anticipating an upkeep and overall uptick in overall volume that requires it, or?
We're anticipating about the same.
So you think you're going to end up paying 10 at the end of the year?
It's hard to say. I doubt we'll spend that much.
Okay. So right now you're running around $2,000, $3,000?
A little less than that.
Yeah.
This year they had a summer intern in the department, which they hadn't had in the past.
In the past, and that
it
helped.
It was an unpaid intern for the most part.
Are you doing that again?
Next year?
Yeah.
We'll try.
But if not, then we would need to hit that part-time line.
Okay.
For the rentals, it's $37,267 a year. That's with two companies. We get the postage machines from Pitney Bowes, $13,380. And the folder inserters from Mail Finance are $23,887.
So why the big uptick from 18?
Because it used to be under the...
Central Services.
Right.
Okay.
And Central Services with IS.
Got it.
So it was part of their budget. So it was just a switch. Our biggest expense, naturally, besides payroll, is postage. It's $327.5 the budget. That's for the Pitney Bowes postage, UPS, PO box fees, visitor supply accounts. Year to date, we're at $246,538. As far as revenues, that we kept them flat. Departmental income of $40,000, which is $10,000 for vending. Year to date, $3,771 in the chargebacks. Year to date, $15,749 from the New York State court system. And the reimbursable department's revenue year to date is $82,479, and it's budgeted for $120,000.
If I could just give a quick cautionary tale, the budget for postage was done before the post office announced that they're seeking increases for things like certified mail and others. I know January 1st, potentially. That all goes up, so...
So are you just telling us you're going to be making an amendment?
I hope not, but we'll have to see what actually goes through. I mean, typically, postage is not something where there's an excess of, you know, where we budgeted higher than it normally comes in. It normally comes right at where we were budgeting.
Joe?
Just a little thing. I saw, now I don't have, I know I could ask, but I don't have the actuals for 19, but you did boost the conference expenses quite a bit. I was wondering, did you use it? in 19.
I think it was the same.
Yeah, question. 19 it was adopted. I don't know where they're at.
It was 3,000 for 2019 and 3,000 for next year.
Well, in 18, it was 322 when it went to 3,000.
Yeah.
It might have been under another line. I don't think we raised it up.
Well, no, from 18 to 19, you went from virtually nothing to 3,000, is what I'm saying, and then you continued it. So I was just asking, did you end up using that 3,000? Where'd you go? And are you
we haven't, we haven't used again? It, but the reason why we haven't used it, Joe, is because we've been getting scholarships. So when we have seminars that we go to and conferences, we apply for scholarships, and the conferences are usually $300 to $500, and we've been lucky enough to get scholarships where we bring in the new employees. We've had some employees who've been around for a long time. We just had one retire. He's been here 20 years. He wasn't going to as much training, but we have practically brand new staff.
Is that the reduction in salary we're seeing
yes.
here?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the reductions in salary is because our driver messenger was there with the county for 20 years. She was making about $10,000 more than the new person we have.
Okay. What are some seminars that you guys go to yearly that you plan on continuing to go to?
The
next question is obviously going to be, are these things that you can do online?
Right. SAMPO is New York State Association of Municipal Purchasing Officers. They have seminars every year with training classes. That is not available online. The National Institute of Government Purchasing does have a conference that we rarely go to because it's usually in another part of the country and it's expensive. But we did do some of their online webinars. That was several hundred dollars. But we really think that training's important, especially because
How much did you go on last year that you got scholarships for? What would have been the total price if you didn't get any scholarships?
I can give you the information. I want to talk ahead of that.
Is it close to 3,000?
No. No, but again, though, because if we think we're going to be utilizing as much training as we would like, we want to have the money in the budget. We can use it.
Ed, are you, we talked about this last year, are you entertained or have you looked at any automated systems? I mean, I know you guys have your process, but it would really be great if we could start thinking about automating the process here for purchasing.
We would absolutely love to automate the RFP process to cut down on paperwork, to get electronic proposals. We've had some discussions with the executive's office. We're not there yet, but we would absolutely love to do
is
it.
Is that something you're going to be looking at in 2020 for a proposal?
Yeah, and I've had some discussions with IS about it.
Excuse me?
With IS about it.
Okay, okay. And have you explored any applications that could be beneficial to this effort?
There are companies that we have been speaking to, and we're going to be speaking to again in the near future to talk about this.
Okay, yeah, I guess I do think that would be really beneficial.
Oh, I agree
100%.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Was this stuff we compiled again?
We compiled this org chart too, so we would ask that if it shows the reporting
that?
Relationship.
You'd be comfortable with that on the online budget?
That's correct.
Okay.
Purchasing puts an org chart in their purchasing manual every year.
Yep. Oh, okay. So, yeah. Well, we had asked for a copy and didn't get one, so we're being proactive.
Sorry about that.
So, thank you.
Yeah. So, just a few goals for next year. Obviously, it's the county executive's office with the big five priorities. Development of procurement performance measurement program using key performance indicators. I was at an all-day class in Rockland County yesterday. KPIs are becoming more and more prevalent in the purchasing world. So instead of just talking about, as I did earlier, how many purchase orders we did last year versus this year, we're talking about true cost savings, cost avoidance, customer satisfaction surveys, things of that nature. So that's something we're going to be exploring. Working with the innovation team to set up an Ulster County Purchasing Cooperative. I had a meeting with Tim Wiedemann last week about that. Just reaching out to the towns and villages to see what their requirements are versus the bids and quotes we put out and see if we could take advantage of economies of scale to save money for everyone.
That'd be great.
And,
particularly with the 2% tax cap.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was the last one? I'm sorry.
And just continuing education again for our staff. We have a new buyer that started about a month ago, and we're going to be interviewing for another one. So we do have a.
So you're increasing headcount?
No.
Okay,
we,
just
we
replacing the two that
we're
are. Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Great. Any other questions? Ed, thank you so much. We appreciate your coming and sharing your budget with us.
Thanks
answering our questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, Dave, sorry.
If you're going to do our resolutions,
yes, to take 427 out of order. Yes, I did hear that. Thank you. Okay. On to resolutions. Resolution 427, approving the memorandum of agreement between the County of Ulster and the Ulster County Deputy Sheriff's Police Benevolent Association for the years 2018 and 2019.
I'll move it.
I'll
a little
second.
Late.
it's a miracle that I shouldn't say a miracle, but it's reflective of a lot of hard work on the PBA's side and
okay.
the administration side to make sure that we didn't end up in arbitration. So
good. Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So moved. Thank you. All right. Back to the beginning. Resolution 374, establishing a policy to prohibit appointees of Ulster County elected officials and Board of Election staff from holding any elected public office of any city, town, or village within Ulster County.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion. Dave?
I'm curious as to why this is in this committee.
If I could just answer that, this committee handles personnel, and this is a personnel policy,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. I need to excuse myself.
I'll just keep going. Resolution 407, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 10 of 2019, a local law regarding campaign finance reform, to be held on Tuesday, November 12, 2019 at 6:10 p.m.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any questions on this? All right. All in favor? Opposed? Resolution 408, confirming the appointment of Susan Koppenhaver as Director of the Office for the Aging.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
Any questions?
Did we get a job description or a resume?
It's in the packet.
Mm-hmm. It's in the packet.
All in favor? Has she moved into the Ulster County yet?
Has she moved into Ulster County yet? No. I mean, she's looking for...
She's in the job now, though, right?
She's in the job. She's
okay.
Working.
Okay,
that's one of
right.
Those positions that you're supposed to live
no,
in.
No, you don't have to be.
Oh.
Okay.
She had expressed to legislative programs
because
that she planned
know,
on.
Like,
she planned on moving.
My mindset is there's a lot of people, so we got 185,000 people in this country.
Well,
I've, county, and I think
she's never come in to talk to us, correct?
No, she went to the committee of...
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Resolution 412, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Cornell Cooperative Extension Department of the Environment. Move. Move. Or second.
Packet open before we go any further.
I'm sorry.
I
am.
I moved it.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 413, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Family of Woodstock Youth Bureau. Move.
Move.
Second.
Yeah, Mark, yes.
Second.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 414, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Wood Services, Inc., Department of Social Services.
Move.
Move. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 417, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County RUPCO, Inc., Department of Planning. Move?
Move.
Second?
All in favor?
I abstain from voting.
One abstention. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 418, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Tyler Technologies, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 419, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Asset Works LLC Information Services.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 420, approving the reallocation of funds within the Ellenville Million Program Department of Planning.
I'll move it. Second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
Sorry.
Dave?
Jinx.
Or Joe?
I was hoping to move this back to economic development just to make sure that we're giving everybody in Ellenville a fair shot. We had a discussion a week ago. I had quite a few issues. I think we've had quite a few groups reach out, and I don't think we ever went back through the original list that wasn't able to get any of those funds, and I think we ought to take a look and really do our due diligence.
Mark. If I could just comment that what this resolution does, and it's not totally clear from the title, but this just creates an additional category. It adds the healthcare category that then the USITA board can determine, because it's the USITA board that oversees the Ellenville Million Program. And
what
well, I will take exception to that, because in reviewing the resolution, it's not just approving a new category. It's also approving moving funds. It's basically approving the allocation of the funds, because it's saying healthcare sector drawing from the remainder of the unobligated or unused funds from all other allocations. So it is making a financial decision.
No, Lynn,
not just go ahead.
If I could just
clarify,
please. I think that you're both right in that you're talking about the whereases or the recitals. The only resolves are that resolved that the Ulster County Legislature hereby approves the following addition to the original descriptions and allocations of the Ellenville Million Healthcare Sector Capital Assistance, and then defines it. The rest of them are just the whereas is describing the process, and I think that
so
had to do with the ID of the EDA.
Underneath that, does that say that? No, it doesn't.
Whereas was stricken. I mean, that was added after meeting
with
leadership.
It's not a whereas. It's in the resolve. That's what I'm saying. Look at the resolve.
We went back and added language to clarify some things, and maybe that makes it even...
So, I don't know.
Drawing from the remainder of unobligated or unused funds? That's not a transfer, though. It's just, it'd be drawing from... There are a remainder of unused funds.
So, maybe,
we're not...
Maybe a little edit to say to allow for the possibility of drawing from...
Well, but it does... This isn't... This doesn't, yes, but this doesn't get at the issue that Joe brought forward, and which we all got some emails over the last day or two with regards to folks that had originally submitted plans, and now that this money's available, you know, I don't know, because I wasn't here when those things were decisioned, and I had mentioned to John that I was looking for some help understanding, are there folks that were in the queue that just didn't make the cut because dollars were not being earmarked?
Do you want me to speak? Can I speak?
Please,
to that?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
I was on the. I was
you were on the board.
On the board at that time. So, what we're referring to is the Jumpstart project that was overseen by Pattern for Progress, and they solicited bids from people and worked with people who put together bids. And they created a matrix by which the proposals were then evaluated. So the board evaluated, I think it was 33 proposals, and then what happened is some of those proposals were invited to a meeting where they gave presentations. And what occurred after that is, and I can't speak directly to who wasn't, but I can say that The people who were funded were the projects that were found to have an economic development benefit to Ellenville,
and this
or
was
the
separate,
area.
And it was separate from the Ellenville million.
It was part of the money, but it was like a category. Oh, all right, go ahead, Dennis.
I think the easiest way to explain this is that the decision of fund and not to fund is based on merit of the application. And so that the money that you're seeing left over in the Jumpstart was the decision of the Board of EDA based on the merit of those applications.
Well, and let me also state that a couple of the people I think that were funded under Jumpstart, and there's then as much as I can say, wound up not taking, not being, not
able
part-
to. There was
not
a restaurant
not
that
participating.
I wasn't sure about anyways.
Not
that was, I think it was some zoning and planning issues with one.
Right.
Joe. When a lot of these decisions were made, and look, nobody, it's uncomfortable to say, but the chair of the EDA was on the board of your hospital. Did you speak to her when trying to get the money from Ellenville Million towards your hospital? I mean, nobody's going to say.
Well, they didn't put it into the Jumpstart.
She just left. We have a team of executive appointees that all seem to want this money to go to the Ellenville Hospital. We had somebody that was heading the EDA that was the on the board of the Ellenville Hospital. I don't see a big, let's just be honest, I know we can all have different opinions on economic development, but in the last economic development meeting I was told if people aren't fed and they're not healthy and if they have substance abuse problems, well, then that's not good for business. So this is directly related to economic development. I'm sorry. We're lucky there's only a couple people in this room, because I think the large percentage of our constituents would not find this very reassuring about how we've spent not just the Ellenville Million, but our total approach to economic development. I have a lot of issues with this, one of which is that I don't think, I'm not quite sure that everybody in Ellenville got a fair shot. Some of this money is going to go to rehabbing a building, which almost sounds like the government funds going to capital projects, which I know this isn't technically our money anymore. There's so many issues with this. I just think a postponement is reasonable to go back and really make sure that everybody in Ellenville is getting a fair shot.
Good. I wanted to mention that I believe that Mr. Kelly, as president of the hospital, was also on the committee that met to discuss the different projects, and I think because of a seeming unfairness had not applied for any of the money, even if he would have qualified originally. So I wanted to point that out, that you know that he had made a particular point of not applying for the money originally because of the seeming unfairness, the appearance of impropriety that would cause.
Dave?
And I mean, I understand that, you know, we all have different ideas on what maybe economic development is and what it isn't. But I believe the Ellenville Hospital is one of the largest employers in that area, is it not?
It is, yes. It's the largest private employer.
It's the largest private employer in the area. And I think it does. It attracts people. If you have a hospital that is actually servicing people, the more the better services that you can bring about creates people who come to an area. I mean, that's it. And I believe that that hospital is not only used by, obviously, it's not only used by Ellenville, but it's used by people, you know, outside the county because of its placement and because of that only, it's a, you know, sort of a hospital in the middle of nowhere, sort of, in a way, if I hate to put it that way, but.
John? Yeah.
I'm
sorry, can you speak up a little?
Our project was one of the finalists in the Jumpstart competition this year.
What project was that?
It was to create an eatery along the county rail trail system, the OMW rail trail. Our town had just changed its zoning laws this year to allow farm-to-table eateries on farms. I thought it was a good addition to the rail trail. And seeing that one of the projects that was chosen was an eatery, which was, you know, to be on Route 209, and that project didn't go forward, I think that we should be reconsidered for the money. I think that putting the eatery along the rail trail is more in line with the vision that the county has, you know, for our town.
Do you have any comments?
I would just say we support John's project as far as in a CFA application. I don't think that the funds that are available left in the Ellenville Million go nearly far enough for the project, at least from what you and I have discussed when you've been in our office.
Different project. I think you used the Colony Farm project.
Okay. And you're talking about
the Roundabout Cafe that had been part of the jump start.
The cafe on our farm.
Okay. I can't discuss what was discussed.
If you want to postpone it for a month, I'm okay with
it. Is that
the resolution?
It doesn't. I mean,
healthcare to be.
I understand, but what it does create though is I see what you're saying. It the resolution is just to add a category.
Right.
But
that would allow the EA, that would allow the EDA to
yes.
to decision it, and a guarantee that we will have a whole review of all the.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So is that clear to everybody?
Yeah, that's what I was hoping to clarify. Is that if we add this category, then that would go back to USITA, and then they could have this discussion about this project versus that project.
Versus yes, and we have assurances that it will be reviewed.
Yeah, which is where.
Where it should be.
And where it did take place.
Well,
first time, and they can talk about it in a more robust way.
Right, and which already the history is sitting there anyway.
Right.
Okay. So on the resolution.
Well,
all
I
in
think
favor,
Joe, were you making that into a motion to postpone? I just don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
I'm sorry.
I would prefer to even postpone the resolution and kick it back to economic development, but I may not even have a second. But I'll put it out there as a first.
Can I support
yeah,
the change.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I want to give you the opportunity anyway. But
I appreciate it.
Is there a second for?
Well, both of these projects could be funded by the money that we have. If that's the case.
Well,
you know,
and that's where
that
it goes
way,
back,
third
right?
Third project, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity.
I think if we were going to do that, what I would remove from here is the unused piece. So just the unobligated.
Can you strike?
You're okay with striking that, Mark?
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
so we will make
that.
Okay. And that does that satisfy everybody?
Okay.
So would then read drawing from the remainder of the unused funds?
Unobligated. Oh, no. Yes, that's right. Unobligated?
No,
or no,
unused.
Okay, so we unobligated comes out.
Right.
So that would read drawing from the remainder of the unused
funds
from
right.
all of the other
right.
allocations
right.
consistent
right.
with
that,
blah, blah, blah.
That's right. 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 Right.
Is that
right.
substantive?
Okay.
Is
okay.
that
seconded
a substantive change? Wouldn't it have to go back?
No.
No.
Substantive
change. Thank you. Okay. On the amended resolution.
Wait.
Yes.
I think we have to vote on the making the amendment.
He just did.
Yeah. He
they just
it.
Did. He said
we
okay.
moved and seconded
and
the amendment.
And everybody voted in favor?
Now we're
going to vote on the amendment.
We're going to vote on the amendment.
Okay.
And then we'll vote on the
amendment.
All
right. Thank
you. And then we'll vote. On the amendment.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay, on the resolution as amended.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. All right. Resolution 422. Resolution 422, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature.
We put one in the budget.
I'm sorry. Do we have something?
Sorry.
Okay.
Do we have computer issues?
Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State of, Department of Labor to allow the Department of Planning to act as a census designated affiliate.
Move.
Second.
Dave.
Have they added any money in the budget to deal with this census?
Yes.
Well, I guess we're going to find out when he comes next week, next month, to tell us about his budget.
Planning and professional services wise for
not a ton, right?
$20,000, I think.
I got it right.
Would be to create a census board.
Is it
an undercap?
That's what they pay me for.
That's how this resolution is related to this money.
No, I know that, but I figured I'd answer the question now. And then your.
I'm sorry, Dave. I didn't hear the last piece.
No, I'm asking the question about the money for the budget, and now what they're going to be spending it on dealing with the census. I mean, because it's an extremely important thing to get these counts. So,
I mean, from what I understand, it was, you know, the money was going to be spent on helping people
it's
become census.
It's education and outreach.
For census jobs.
Yes. And, well, it's not, no, it's
no?
not for census jobs. It's more for education outreach to make sure that the undercount areas that they respond.
Okay.
We have, for example, if you look in Ellenville, portions of Kingston, we have, and believe it or not, the SUNY New Paltz area have significant undercounts with respect to response to census questions below 60% in some instances, and the county in generally is around less than 70%, or 77%, excuse me.
So
we'll look
the,
at those undercount areas and try to do education.
What's the 400 in the financial impact here? Is that just for, do you have to apply and is there a licensing fee?
No, it's literally transportation costs to go. We have a required, there's a required meetings for us.
But you just said 20, so why is
that's not related to the resolution.
Oh, okay.
That's related to Dave's question with respect to budget.
Got it. Sorry. Thank you.
I do have a question about the census.
Too many conversations.
I mean, is there a standard and required way to do it? Meaning, take Esopus. We've got the river where we have million-dollar homes that skews our numbers for the mobile home areas in other parts of the town of Esopus. So that means if we want to get a USDA grant for fire protection, our median income is too high. And it doesn't go by hamlet.
Well, the income tests have gone out of the census, so those questions don't get asked in the census anymore. They're covered under something called the American Community Survey that's taken every year, and then they do 5-year averages. So the census questions are down literally to where do you live in a population count. So it's a housing count and a population count.
So there's no demographics, there's no household income.
Well, demographics is a larger word, but if you're looking at income levels or if you're looking at richness or you're looking at value of houses, all of those questions get answered under an imputation process with respect to a community survey, and it's called the ACS. And you can go on the Census Bureau right now and you can pick up data from that. The difficulty is that in some rural areas, what they call the imputation errors are significant. There could be plus or minus 20% in some instances.
Did you have a question?
No, I had a different answer from Laura about how the process of this. Well, you were talking about how the census works and how things are skewed. I mean, they go out early on with, you know, like census mapping employees where they actually go and verify there's a house here and they interact with the homeowners and whatnot, and then after that is when the questionnaires and everything go out, and the problem is getting the questionnaires back. So that's what the 20,000 that Dave was talking about is to try and get
more
questionnaires.
The first process, if I can, the first process would be, and we've already been through that process, is address verification.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with the state agency as well as our IS to essentially give them the E911 address files. And look at the matchups between those files and the census files to make sure that we had a matchup. That's the first step of that process. There's a boundary survey to make sure that everybody understands where the appropriate boundaries are so that the boundary maps match. We've been through that process. And so the next process now is actually the mailing out of the questionnaires. And then what we look at is return rates, what they call MRRs, mail return rates, for those questionnaires and how many those get back. And then there's really good looking at the 2010 census. We know those areas where we had less than a return rate, what our return rates were for those areas. They become hard to count areas, and you anticipate that would reoccur in the 2020 census.
Okay.
So you focus on those areas, and we know where they are, that we know the census tracts in the county that where they occur, and that's where we focus our efforts.
Right. On the resolution?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 426, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to accept an award for a Department of Homeland Security Preparedness Grant for the Port Security Grant Program.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Did we do 423?
We did, and we missed 423.
Oh, I'm sorry. I put a check there and we hadn't done it. Thank you. 423, amending capital project number 529, purchase of the mass transit buses and related equipment and amending the 2019 capital fund budget, Ulster County Area Transportation.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, resolution 428, amending capital project 482, countywide radio system, Department of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 430.
Can I just interject there?
Yes,
one
please.
Quick second.
Go right ahead.
Steve Peterson is going to Public Works Committee next month to give an overall update on the interoperable, you know, this countywide radio system, interoperable system. So if anybody is interested, then they should talk to Laura about joining that committee for that presentation.
Yeah, we have some good questions.
He's going to go through everything. So.
That'd be great. We'll send a note out to everybody letting them know. I think that'd be good. All right, Resolution 430, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with New York State Office of Victim Services for funding under the Victim and Witness Assistance Grant Program, Department of Probation.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 431, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services, Sexual Assault Crisis and Prevention Program, Department of Probation.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 432, approving the Ulster County 2020 Stop DWI Program Plan and authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute all intermunicipal agreements required under the plan. Second?
Second.
No, it's not here.
And okay. The law enforcement had a presentation on this program. Is that correct?
Oh, did they?
I don't know.
I'd like to hear.
Okay.
Yes,
questions?
I was there.
Okay.
So what is the difference with this and just putting uniformed officers out to do stop?
The Stop to DWI plan is like loaning of equipment and things of that nature. So we'll loan breathalyzers and
it's both. It's
yeah.
loaning of equipment.
Yeah,
it's
and also the
paying,
yeah. paying for yes
for them to go out and do checkpoints. It's a check state point. Required.
This is during like 4th of July and high DWI seasons. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time these checkpoints will happen like by the Hudson Bridge or in places of peak traffic.
Okay. It's meant for prevention. We advertise that these are out there well in advance.
So be not going to stop anybody.
No.
Well, I bet it does curtail it a little.
I don't know.
No? All right.
Okay,
we did
you.
Vote on that, right?
No, I don't think so.
Did we?
No.
Okay,
no,
just,
not yet.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 433, establishing capital project number 552, SUNY Ulster, Kingston Center Roof Safety Improvement, and amending the 2019-2024 Capital Project Fund, SUNY
Move.
Ulster. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 435, amending the 2019-2024 Capital Improvement Program, establishing Capital Project Number 549, Replacement HVAC at Information Services, 25 South Manor, amending the 2019 Capital Fund budget. Move. You gonna move it?
Move.
Yeah, move it.
All right. Second.
Second.
Thank you. And your question?
The property over in South Manor. I know for the longest time we were going to get rid of it at one point because of the roof caving in.
It's more of a knee wall issue, but.
So what have they done?
Changes that we.
It's a what issue?
It's a knee wall.
Oh.
I mean, the idea is eventually to get.
Is it because of less snow, or is it because they get somebody shovel off the roof still?
No, I mean,
I'm serious.
People
I mean,
do go up and
do right
shovel
now.
Off the roof, but
is
it's not.
Are they still doing that?
It's not as big a concern.
Wake up, Dennis. Are they still doing that?
I'm fine. I mean, there's an engineering report with respect to the roof that we know what we need to do to fix it.
Eventually, we plan on getting the department out so that we can do the repair.
Yeah, but I think that was said 15 years ago. Actually, I'll be longer than that.
Okay, on the resolution? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 437, authorizing an application for a grant from the Catskill Watershed Corp for the Maltby Hollow Bridge. Thank you. Replacement project in the town of Olive and authorizing the execution of an associated grant funding agreement with CWC Department of Public Works.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 438, authorizing the Commissioner of Finance to accept bids for parcels of county-owned real property for private sale and authorizing the Chair of the Ulster County Legislature to convey such parcels. Department of Finance. Move.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 439, authorizing the conveyance of county-owned property to the original owner, Department of Finance. Move. Second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Resolution 440, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, SNO Construction Services, Inc., Department of Public Works.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 441, establishing the county equalization rates for the year 2020 levy.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 442, authorizing the Chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Board of Elections for expenses related to the purchase of equipment and services necessary for early voting in Ulster County.
Move.
Second? All in favor? Opposed? Okay. Any new business? I have. Oh, go ahead, Judge.
No, actually, I'll wait for old business.
Okay. Huh? Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Can we approve the minutes from the September?
I'll move it.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. New business. We did get a report from Jerry Benjamin. We had asked him to, one of the three budget things we were asking him to take a look at was urgent. We did get a report from him. We did go through it with him a week or so ago. And we're proposing a meeting with law enforcement. I've talked to Lynn Eckert, a joint meeting where the actual report can be discussed, and we're inviting Juan, Holly, and Jerry to come to the meeting to talk about it. I will send it out to all of you, but just so you know, they're trying to get it on the calendar in the next week or two. Okay, anybody have anything else?
Oh, I'm a no on this.
Ken?
Just on that meeting, I believe that Lynn and I are looking to set up a meeting of law enforcement to go over budgets and something else. That might be a good time to have
okay.
that meeting.
Lynn and I have been going back and forth on dates. So.
Okay, I'll talk to her.
Okay, so just so everybody knows. And we'll get this on the OneDrive so everybody can take a look at the report.
Yeah, I'm a no on that.
Okay. Anything else?
Move adjourn.
I forgot. I was saying old business.
Yep.
I just wanted to ask about that salary study. It's been a long time. I didn't know. I was looking for an update.
Oh, yeah, we did have. Could you give us an update, Mark?
Sure.
This is done.
We went through the process.
For 15
had
to 20
begun the process of having the actual employees turn in their
the full, you know,
portion.
Speed racer
yep.
over here.
Really
ask questions.
I'm. Frankly, there's one elected official that I'm kind of having conversations with and trying to work with because they had not wanted to participate in the study and did not want their department to participate in the study, and that is not something that I would like to happen. So we're trying to work with that person, and hopefully, so we paused it.
But
because
isn't it
once we go to that next?
But
stage,
isn't it salary? What do we need? We don't really need approval to take a look at salaries and
well,
insurance costs.
They were job descriptions. Yeah, they were
to not because they're oh on some of the positions
yeah,
that
it's
don't
a separate
they got to kind of.
So I can't control. You know.
Well, we should.
Can
we talk about this offline?
Well, we maybe we go to executive session because we're trying to.
It
approve a budget and salaries are a big part of that.
Well,
so if you're not
but this is
salary
not
going to
be part of this year's budget. I will say this, you know, trying to rush through at the same time we're going through this, trying to look at a salary study, start to ask the questions about it, really delve into it. I don't want to rush through. This is too important. We will look at it in early 2020 and make decisions, but to try and
this
rush
is something
it through
we started
in
talking
the
about
cycle.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about
I know,
rushing
but
through it. I'm talking
it's
about
not been done. So what are we going to do? We're going to rush it through and try to rush it through our decision process in the midst of looking at a new budget?
We've been holding up a resolution for the increase in insurance payments. So for this, you know, this audit that was supposed to be
rushed through a raise for a department head already. So we can rush through the raises. We can hold off on increasing for the people at the top, but we got to go slow with regards to this, whatever this firm is we paid, and now we have a department, an elected official who doesn't want to take part. And I'm saying that when it comes to raises and other such things, budgetary matters, it makes it difficult on us to properly appropriate funds if they're not going to cooperate in a pretty basic salary study. It's ridiculous, and it's the first I've heard, and I'm confused at why this is the first I've heard. It has taken forever. I don't know if this one department office holding up is why it's taken this long. Once again, this should have taken in people in personnel, or we could have had our budget analyst probably do this in about a week. So the fact that we outsourced it,
it's not as easy as you think it is, Joe. And you and I have
it depends on what you're after.
This,
but yeah. I'll be curious to see what we get in the salary study, and mm-hmm. I'll be very curious to see what we get. But I guess I won't even be here. Which is convenient.
That's too bad. I'm sorry about that.
We'll pass
okay.
it along.
Anything else?
I was also surprised to hear that it was sort of being paused, because I feel like we've gotten pretty frequent updates until now.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of agree with Joe that it comes as a bit of a surprise. But
well, there I will share this. I mean, Rich and I chatted about this. I probably should have sent a note to everybody. But in the course of the rollout, which was the end of September, there was a conversation about trying to hurry it up and get it done so that, you know, it missed the cycle of the submission by the county exec, mm-hmm. and it was then going to fall on our shoulders to be look at the analysis. And I strongly, and Rich and I both chatted about this and sent a note to the executive and the chair, basically saying that we didn't feel rushing a project like this, which is an important one, without having sufficient time to really dig down, review, ask questions about it in a very already aggressive budget mm-hmm. cycle was not really the best use, and that, you know, we would prefer to address it after the budget cycle.
I think it would have been nice if you talked to the committee about that.
About what?
About that. I mean, before you get privy to information, because you're the chair, and then you make decisions on that information without ever sharing it with us, and then send it off to the exec. I don't know if that's how it's
prerogative as a chair, and I did include the deputy chair, and we spoke about it with the chair.
Basically, we just told the county exec's office that we're very concerned
about timing.
This is not progressing fast enough for us. If you're going to do something, include monies in your budget. If not, the burr is not going to fall upon the legislature to put money in the budget for 2020 without going through a proper venting of what's happening.
But we've given these raises out, and I think there's more raises in the budget, and we're going to give these raises out once again. We haven't been able to raise health care premiums. We weren't able to vote down a raise for a department head, a big one, out of the budget cycle with very little information and no interview. And we use this salary study as a reason while we raise health care premiums on the rank and file. And it's just really disappointing to me that the, you know, 1,100 people in this county potentially can get their health insurance raised, and once again we use this salary as justification for not raising it for appointees, the people at the top, for the most part. And it's disappointing. And then they drag their feet. One elected official says, I'm not going to cooperate. It's just dysfunctional, and it's something that, quite honestly, we were asking for 2 years ago.
I don't disagree. The fact that it was done at the last minute, just before budget cycle, put up undue pressure, I think, on this group.
When were we first told that they were actually going to do a salary study? It was like, what, 6 months ago?
Spring.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was last minute.
I mean, we did an RFP. I mean, this was a process that takes time.
Yeah, and the RFP was announced, and we were talking about something that you guys weren't really into, and lo and behold, we never get the salary study. So it's just par for the course from what I've experienced.
Okay. Ken.
Just Legislative Petit, I think, might have had some discussion on 433. Is there any appetite to open it back up for discussion really quick? And unless you don't want to, Laura. I just...
I would be happy to. I mean, I put that resolution, I voted yes on it just to move it out of Public Works, but I had concerns because it's 144 linear feet of railing and it's $90,000. The only invoices I got was the proposals for between $15,000 and $27,000. So I still don't know where the other 60 is coming from.
There's three separate proposals. This is three different scopes of work, and we are going out to bid on this. So the invoices that you saw were quotes on three different portions of work.
Okay,
it's
that's
railing,
still not 90,000.
It's padding, and it's others, and it's probably in the 70,000 with some contingency. Again, these were just established 65. As quotes. I think it was 27, 30 something, and then I go back. But
There's three pieces to the project.
And this
so
will go out
under
to
this resolution.
We just approved it, or we're just approving,
approving the capital project.
So then the contracts will come later.
Yeah. So this is just a place mark in the capital project, which once we get the RFPs, we'll know exactly what it costs. So it's just a place mark.
Establishing the capital
project. All right.
So you create a capital. You create a capital.
Can we send an email off to personnel, just reminding them and asking them to verify or change what needs to be changed on
yes.
the org charts too?
Yeah.
Just so
we'll follow up with everyone just to verify their org charts.
Yeah, and
so
maybe
we just
get
come
him
up with $1 million
in writing to say that he's.
It, and then if
or
we work
can
our way up to a
check
million,
what they put
okay.
the purchase.
Yeah, we're
no.
going to
yeah.
do that
so,
with everyone.
Yeah,
we're
I like
meeting.
That.
Can
yes.
I just Laura to explain your question? So we always establish a capital project with a proposed budget, and then you send all the things out for RFP. You know, you saw some of the quotes. So when the
yes.
RFPs come back, then we would approve contracts if they're over $50,000. If they're under $50,000, the executive approves the contract.
So we could potentially get the three phases and get them all in at 50. So instead of spending 90, it would be 150.
No,
I mean,
if the project exceeds the $90,000
yeah.
we approved in the capital project, they need to come back to us to amend the capital project for more money.
It shouldn't be 90, it should be 65 then, because that's what the three quotes were.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they can't spend more than the 90 without coming to us.
All
that's
right, we shouldn't spend more than 65.
Normally we establish them with the design.
I mean, so that's a lot of money. That's a part-time, that's a driver for
there may be
you know,
a design contract in there too that I have to
yeah.
look at.
That's also SUNY funds, so the cost of the county is going to be 45.
Right.
Correct. The cost of the county is going to be half of whatever it is because in capital projects and SUNY buildings, the county
50%.
Pays half and the dormitory authority
yeah.
pays half.
SUNY. Yeah.
The facilities, the Facilities Corporation.
All right,
so
anything else?
Half
oh,
the
sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all the same
for
nonsense.
144. So if they're paying half, then it's 100.
No.
No,
it's $90,000
no.
because the way it works is
we
have to put out the money and they pay us back.
Mm-hmm.
It's reimbursement
that we usually get.
Right.
Always get
from them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
one
pretty good.
Ones you count on.
That gets back pretty quick.
Okay.
One of the better ones.
We just did a bunch of SUNY projects in the last few months. They got the pedestrian bridge delivered today.
Yes,
installed today.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Vandal and pedestrian bridge that was out when we were there
yeah,
at the college.
Yeah.
Water line just came back too. I think we went out and
bid
on the water
today,
line.
Right?
Bid was today. I think it was 2.5, and the estimate was 3.2
yeah.
somewhere in there.
It
so
under?
It came back considerably lower
oh,
okay. than
oh,
the estimates.
So will we get another resolution then authorizing 2.5?
Yeah.
For the contract.
Who
yes.
estimated?
And these
our
ones,
engineers estimated that high.
It's really close. It's only, you know, it's really close with contingency. It's going to be a really close estimate of construction.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get construction inspection on there, stuff like that, so it's really close.
Honestly, with the construction work going on right now, it's just all kind of lucky stars didn't come in higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was it, Dennis, you know?
I don't think we can say yet, right? I don't think we can say yet.
We can say
there were two bids.
Not until it's awarded.
Well, no, I mean, it was an open, I don't know the contractor. It was an open bid process, so we could say if
we know. Well, I know them. The two lowest bidders were Merritt Construction and Roars Construction.
Right, so they still have to be evaluated as far as being responsible.
And it was 2.7.
But those are the low bidders.
And they bid two alternates. They bid a ductile iron alternate and a PVC alternate. The ductile iron was 2.7 something and 2.5 for the PVC. But ductile is probably what lasts a lot longer and much more durable. So that's probably what they do.
But there was only less than 100,000 in between the two low, and then they all went all the way up to some of the bids, to go back to your point, were over the 3.5. There was about 10 bidders.
Oh, 4.5, I think, was the highest, I think, something in that neighborhood.
Okay, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
So the public hearing, will you have to start? When was that?
6:13.
6:05. So then just start 10 minutes late.
I was hoping to start.